Okay, Shabbat Shalom and welcome to United Israel World Union. This is our Sabbath morning study. Thank you very much for joining us today. And look at that. Dave just warned everybody. Make sure you're he's monitoring. So, but thanks for joining us. And also, I appreciate all the prayers I'd posted that, you know, I was losing my voice late in the week and it was really weak yesterday. So I think your prayers worked. Thank you very much. I'd also like, before we get started, to ask you to keep the Tyler clan, the Tyler family, in your prayers. Red is currently in the hospital. The family is with him. And so lift them up in prayer. Keep them in your prayers. And we'll keep you updated right now. But at this time, we're just asking that we ask all of you to keep the whole family as the patriarch of that family is currently in the hospital. So keep them in your mind and your thoughts and prayers. So last week I did a study on the Hebrew word Hesed. And what began as a study on my part on three great words, as I began to study that, as I began to map that out and take notes, I started to focus on the word Hesed. And I presented that last week and suggested strongly that perhaps the word Hesed is the most important word in Scripture. It's translated variously as steadfast love or loyal love. The word Hesed also has this idea of kindness associated with it. But you can't just say kindness when you're thinking about Hesed. You have to have this idea associated with it that deals with consistency. So, you know, there are various ways that you can translate loyal kindness, steadfast love, you know, all these ideas that promote both kindness and a consistency. So it's in essence, it means consistent kindness. I talked about how Hesed is part of the very nature of Jehovah. And when you think about that, that ought to underscore the importance of the word. I mean, we went through, as you recall, a pretty detailed study of the usages. We didn't do an exhaustive study. We didn't look at every occurrence, but we did look at quite a few because I wanted to get the point across of how important this word is. It's part of God's character. Hesed, along with Mishpat and Tzedakah, form this three strong words that are mentioned together quite often in Scripture. And so I started last week from Jeremiah 9, verse 23 and 24, and emphasized that it's these three, in these three things, Hesed and Mishpat and Tzedakah, in steadfast kindness, in justice, in righteousness, that in these Jehovah delights. So again, that was the point. Now, this week, I'm going to build on that a little bit. But sort of as a way of leading into today's class, just to recap a couple other points about Hesed, in order for us to understand and to know the Creator, we have to think on these things. We have to really think about these three, Hesed and Mishpat and Tzedakah, because in Jeremiah 9, it says, if you're going to boast, if you're going to brag, boast in this, that you understand and know me, that I am making or doing these three things in the earth. All right. And one of the things that I had in my notes last week is that it's basically because of God's Hesed, because of his steadfast kindness, that we are able as humans to be forgiven for our transgressions and our sin and those kind of things. God's Hesed is everlasting and it is good. And we went through all of those verses. So something that I touched on last week as I was studying for today's class, came up again and again and again in my notes. Some of you, in fact, Sherry came in and she was ready to get into the subject that I first posted. I was going to talk about the hardest commandment. That is still a class, but I jumped the gun. I got ahead of myself. Early in the evening, it looked like that's what I was going to be talking about. But as I began to pray and study, something else took a priority, and that's what I'm going to present to you today. Knowing what we know of Hesed and its importance. In other words, everything that we learned last week, one of the things that I wanted to talk about today is who is the recipient of the Hesed of Jehovah. In other words, are there things that we can do which will bring us into a place where we can receive that Hesed? And conversely, are there things that we can do that would prevent us from receiving God's steadfast kindness? I mean, to me, those are important questions. If God's Hesed is everlasting, if it is eternal, if it is one of the things that he delights in, we ought to want to receive that. I mean, I think everyone would agree with that. So the answers to those questions are in the scriptures, and I want to begin today's class with a look at that very question. Who is it that can be a recipient of Jehovah's Hesed? Open your Bibles with me this morning to the book of Exodus, to Exodus chapter 20. Exodus chapter 20, and I want to begin in verse 2. You will recognize that this is a passage, it's part of the Ten Commandments, as they're called, the Ten Words, the Ten Matters. This is part of the testimony. The Ten Words that were spoken by Jehovah at Sinai, written on stone tablets with the finger of God. So these are important. It says in verse 2 of Exodus 20, I am Jehovah your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make unto thee a graven image, nor any likeness of anything that is in the heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down yourself unto them, nor serve them. For I, Jehovah your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, upon the third and the fourth of them that hate me, and showing Hesed, or doing or making Hesed, unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. We talk in Jeremiah 9 about God doing or making, osei in Hebrew, Hesed in the earth. Here we read that God is doing Hesed to the thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. We get a first person declaration in this statement. Anoki Yehovah Eloheka. I am Jehovah your God. And then he begins to relate part of who he is. And what is required to please him. You can't have other gods before me. Don't make other gods. Don't bow down. Don't serve. And then he begins to stress his consistency. And I wanted to focus on this idea of to whom the Hesed of Jehovah is given. There's a distinction also I want you to notice, because we're going to see this over and over. This is what I began to notice as I studied last night. There's a distinction. There are two apparent groups. Those that, from Jehovah's standpoint, hate him, and those who love him and keep his commandments. Notice, love and keep. My title for today's class is Love and Keep. I'm going to make it a point to show that it is not enough to do one or the other. Let me make that point pretty clear. There are a lot of people that will say, I just love the Lord. I love God. But they don't keep his commandments. You meet them all the time. People say, I just love the Lord. I love God. I love God. I love God. But they have no desire, and part of it's because of wicked teachers who don't understand Scripture, or just ill-informed people who call themselves teachers, who don't read Scripture, who don't teach their people the truth. But the bottom line is, the result is the same. You have a group of people who love God, who say they love God, and they may, but they don't keep his commandments. Now, I'm going to put to you today that I believe that there are also people who keep commandments, who follow certain requirements. They follow the book. They wear a tzitzit. They might keep dietary laws. They might keep the festivals. But they don't have a true love for God. And I believe that both are required. And I believe that an important word in that verse, and ones that we're going to go through today, in Hebrew is represented by a single letter, a vav, and it's the conjunction and. Love and keep. Now, you're going to see as we work through these, the word keep, many of you know this who've studied with me a while, it's the word literally that means to guard, to love and to guard. So I want to focus on that. So go with me. Let me make one more point. Go to 1 Kings chapter 3, 1 Kings chapter 3 and verse 3. This is to illustrate the point that you can love God and not have this correct. And Solomon loved Jehovah. That's what Scripture says. Walking, get this, in the statutes of David his father, only he sacrificed and burned incense in the high places. His love wasn't pure. His love wasn't associated with the idea of guarding God's commandments. His love was divided. We read in other passages where Solomon clung to these in love. Remember, he had 700 wives and 300 concubines and a lot of politically expedient marriages. And these women, a lot of people would say it. Let me correct this. A lot of people would say these women led his heart astray. No, Solomon's inconsistency in the application of his love and dedication led his heart away. Let's not blame the women here, right, women? He had every right to choose of his own. But see, he wasn't consistent in his love. So you can love God, you can love Jehovah, and not be totally in line with what God needs or wants or desires, because you must love Jehovah and guard his commandments, which he didn't do. And we know the end, right? We know the end. Now, go with me to Deuteronomy 7. We're going to spend a lot of time in Deuteronomy 7. A lot of you know my good friend Barry Page. Barry has written a couple of books, and he, like myself, loves the book of Deuteronomy. And one of the things that he and I enjoy talking about is the emphasis in Deuteronomy, in Devarim. Devarim is a Hebrew name. It means words. The emphasis in Deuteronomy on the love of God. Not only God's love for his people, but the people's love for God. You know, there's something that you might need to know about the Torah. That in the other books of the Torah, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, and Numbers, I challenge you to find anything about the love of God. It's a bit of trivia for you. I think you might find one, and I know where that is, but look for it. Because the love of God, and by that I mean both directions, God's love for his people and God's people's love for him, is almost exclusively in the book of Deuteronomy when it comes to the Torah. Now, Deuteronomy 7:7. Jehovah did not set his love upon you nor choose you because you were more in number than any people. For you were the fewest of all people. But because Jehovah loves you and because he would keep the oath which he swore unto your fathers, has Jehovah brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you out of the house of bondage from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. Know therefore that Jehovah your God, he is God, the faithful God, who guards the covenant and the hesed. Guards the covenant and the hesed with them that love him and keep his commandments to 1,000 generations, and repays them that hate him to their face to destroy them. He will not be slack to him that hates him. He will repay him to his face. You shall therefore keep the commandment, the statutes, the ordinances, which I command you this day to do them. The reason that God chose Israel is what's being discussed in this particular passage. The reason for the chosenness. It makes it very clear. Jehovah loves you, and he's guarding the oath. Says, notice how when I read it, listen to verse 9 one more time. Know therefore Jehovah your God, he is God, the faithful God, who keeps covenant and hesed with them that love him and keep his commandments. So who is it in this passage and in Exodus 20, which also, by the way, is the same as Deuteronomy 5:10, with whom God keeps the hesed, those that love him and keep his commandments? This phrase, guarding the covenant and the hesed, is 5 times in Scripture. We're not going to go through all those 5, but some of them will occur in the study today. Again, there's a distinction, and I want you to get this. There is a distinction, a very clear distinction, between those that, from Jehovah's perspective, who hate him and those who love him and keep his commandments. Now, I want to make this point. You're one or the other. There's two groups. Now, I'm just telling you what I read. There is a group that loves him and keeps his commandments. The other group, you know who that is? The ones that hate him. It doesn't say, oh, and by the way, there's a third group of those who are trying their best. And, you know, I'm just trying to show you there's a distinction, black and white. And I know not. There's very little that's black and white, but this is pretty black and white. Okay. But this distinction between those who love God and keep his commandments and those who hate him. Now, go with me to Deuteronomy chapter 30. Deuteronomy chapter 30. And I want to just read verse 16. Those of you who know me know how hard this is for me, just to read a single verse. But you know, if you feel like studying it all, we're just going to save a little bit of my voice and save a little bit of time here. Verse 16, Deuteronomy 30. In that I command you this day to love Jehovah your God, to walk in his ways, and to keep his commandments and his statutes and his ordinances, that you may live and multiply, and that Jehovah your God may bless you in the land whither thou goest in to possess it. You see this picture here. He is talking about what brings about the blessing of Jehovah. And I want you to notice that the love is commanded. To love Jehovah is commanded. And it brings about blessing and the multiplication. If you don't love Jehovah, these other things aren't coming your way. That's the main point. Now look, but I'm just going to look at the, look at verse 17. But if your heart turns away and you will not hear and be drawn away and worship other gods and serve them, then it goes into the consequences. That's that, those that hate Jehovah category. I know some might want to argue with me a little bit over whether hate and love, and these are very strong words. There are some who want to say that love is not, it doesn't mean the emotional kind. I mean, how do you define love anyway, even in English? Love is a difficult thing to define. But there are some who want to present that love in a Hebrew sense is not the same as we think about it. And that's not necessarily true. Because this word ahav, this idea of love, is used in many contexts just like we use it. So don't get caught up in the idea. Now, what I'm talking about today, we're dealing with covenant love. We're dealing with, but at the same time, I don't want you to minimize the idea that you have of love right now. Don't think that, well, it doesn't really mean that, okay? Now, go with me to Joshua 22, verse 5. Joshua 22 and verse 5. And it says, only take diligent heed to do the commandment and the law which Moses, the servant of Jehovah, commanded you. Now I'm going to insert a word here because it's what's implied. Namely, to love Jehovah your God, to walk in his ways, to keep his commandments, and to cleave unto him, and to serve him with all your heart and with all your soul. So the idea, he says, only take diligent heed. In Hebrew, it's exceedingly guard this. Guard this very well. What? The law, the commandment and the law which Moses, the servant, commanded you, and that is to love God, to follow his ways, to keep his commandments, you see? So he's saying, Joshua is telling the people, guard this very, very well. Now, if you look, these same ideas show up again and again. Walk in his ways, cleave unto him, you know, make him the object of your desire. Now look at Daniel, Daniel chapter 9. Daniel 9. You'll recognize Daniel 9 is a prayer of repentance from Daniel on behalf of God's people. Daniel 9, I just want to read verse 4. And I prayed unto Jehovah my God and made confession and said, O Lord, the great and dreadful God, who keepeth covenant and loving kindness. Here's our love, covenant and hesed with them that love him and keep his commandments. So it seems in the Torah and the prophets and the writings, everyone knows this, that God gives his hesed to those who love him and keep his commandments. Love and keep. One more of this, one more of these passages. Look at Nehemiah. Nehemiah and chapter 1. Nehemiah chapter 1, verse 5. Now, this is another prayer. This time, Nehemiah, and said, I beseech thee, O Jehovah, the God of heaven, the great and terrible God, that keepeth covenant and loving kindness with them that love him and keep his commandments. All right. So the main thing that I wanted to establish in these initial passages, it's that it illustrates, Scripture illustrates consistently and clearly a very important point. We know that Jehovah does or makes hesed in the earth, and he delights in it. The recipients of that hesed are those who love him and keep his commandments. Not simply those who love him or say they love him, and not simply those who follow the letter of the law, if you will. I know some people get nervous if I use that phrase, but you get where I'm coming from. You can wear tzitzit. You can avoid eating shellfish or pork. You can attend shul every Shabbat and the high holy days. That doesn't demonstrate necessarily the love that we're talking about here in Scripture, but it requires both. It's a matter of the heart, but it also requires action. We must love him and keep his commandments. If we want God's hesed, we too must follow that. Now, I want you to go with me to the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 6. Excuse me, Deuteronomy 6, verse 5. If my voice did fail on me, John said he's really ready to pick up. My notes are good. He said he'll read with enthusiasm. This passage, by the way, is called the Ahavta. In Hebrew, and you shall love the Ahavta. It follows what many call the greatest commandment, Shema. Shema Yisrael, Jehovah Eloheinu, Jehovah Echad. All right, what's the command there? Listen, Israel. God is one, there's one God. The command is to listen there. But is that the end of the commandment? It says, and you shall love. It's not enough to recognize that there's one God. I think there are a lot of people who recognize, there's probably one creator God. But here we go. And you shall love Jehovah your God. And it's not enough just to love Jehovah your God. You ready? With all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your might. And these words which I command you this day shall be upon your heart. Listen, and you shall teach them diligently to your children. You shall talk about them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise up, and you shall bind them for a sign on your hand, and shall be for frontlets between your eyes, and write them upon the doorpost of your house and upon your gates. How important is this? Listen, Israel. God is one. There's one God. And you shall love Jehovah your God with everything that you have. In fact, where it says, with all your might, it's translated might. In Hebrew, that's tied to the word very. In other words, it's like saying, with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your everything. Like if I left anything out. With all your very, very much, basically. So it's not enough to just love a little. This is a requirement to love a lot. It's not enough just to recognize one God. In other words, your thinking has to be right. Your doctrine, if you will. Okay, all right, you got to believe the right things. But you have to have it in your heart. Notice, these words shall be written on your heart. Oh, and by the way, talk about them when you get up, when you go down, when you walk around, when you sit in your house. Write them on the doorpost of your house and on your gates. There's an outward, yes, but it's got to be on the heart as well. Look at Deuteronomy 11. Deuteronomy 11 in verse 1. Therefore, you shall love, v'ahavta et Yehovah Eloheka. Therefore, you shall love Jehovah your God and keep his charge and his statutes and his ordinances and his commandments always. By the way, the word always, sometimes people say, well, that doesn't mean always. Look, it means all the days, literally. All the days. Are the days still here? Days are still here. We're to love Jehovah our God with everything that we have all the days. All the days. Now look at Deuteronomy, back up to Deuteronomy 10 in verse 12. In Deuteronomy 10, 12, And now, Israel, what, Ma Yehovah Eloheka Shoel, what does Jehovah your God ask from you? I mean, this is an important question. But to fear Jehovah your God, to walk in all his ways, to love him, to serve Jehovah your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and to keep the commandments of Jehovah and his statutes, which I command you this day for your good. I love the way that wraps up. For your good. I think whenever you get this inside of you, when you recognize that to love Jehovah with everything that we have is demonstrated by our adherence to his laws, his statutes, his judgments, his instructions, his direction, and you can't separate them. Every one of these passages that I'm reading says love is commanded, yes. You must love Jehovah your God with everything, and you've got to guard. And notice also, most all of these verses contrast those who do this, the other group doesn't, and they're considered those who hate Jehovah. So it comes down. It really is sort of black and white in that sense. Now look down at verse 22 of Deuteronomy 11. Deuteronomy 11 and verse 22. Ki'im shamor. Tishmarun, if you shall diligently keep or guard all this commandment which I command you this day, to do it. And what's he gonna? He's gonna qualify what commandment he's talking about. You ready? To love Jehovah your God, to walk in all his ways, and to cleave unto him, then Jehovah will drive out these nations from before you, and so forth and so on. So the point is that if you guard, yes, guard all the commandments, and you love Jehovah and walk in his ways, then good things will follow. See, part of the problem is that people approach this halfway. Either they say they love Jehovah and don't follow his ways, or like Solomon, they probably do love Jehovah, but they're not consistent in the application of following his ways. Or they seek to follow the ways, but they really don't have it on their heart. An example is Isaiah 58. You know, if you read that chapter, it talks about people who are going through the motions as if you are a people who seek to do righteousness, right? But their heart is far. You got to get it both. I'm sorry to say that there's no halfway to do this. You got to have one with the other. love and marriage. They go together, right? You know the old song. Now, look with me to Deuteronomy 19. Deuteronomy 19 and verse 9. Deuteronomy 19, verse 9. Actually in Hebrew it's ki tishmor, because you shall keep all this commandment to do it, which I command you this day, to love Jehovah your God, to walk ever in his ways, then shall you add three cities more of these, besides these three, that innocent blood. This is just a statute in the middle where he's talking about these cities. And because you're going to do this, we're going to do these things following. But it's contingent. A lot of what takes place in the occupation of the land that God gave to the children of Israel depends upon them loving God and following his ways. Look with me at Deuteronomy 30, verse 6. I'm taking these in the order in which they go. So somebody might think, well, we were just in Deuteronomy 30. Why didn't you do that? There's a method to the madness. Deuteronomy 30, verse 6. Jehovah your God will circumcise your heart and the heart of your seed to love Jehovah your God with all your heart, with all your soul, that you may live. What's required of us loving God with all our heart and all our soul and all our every is a sensitizing of the heart, a circumcision. Here it says that Jehovah will do that for us and for our seed. Look down now at 16. In that I command you this day to love Jehovah, to walk in his ways, keep his commandments and his statutes and his ordinances, that you may live and multiply, and that Jehovah your God will bless you in the land whether you go in to possess it. Look down at verse 20. To love Jehovah your God, to obey his voice, to cleave to him, for he is your life and the length of your days, that you may dwell in the land which Jehovah swore unto your fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give them. Now look with me, Joshua 22 and verse 5. Only take diligent heed to do the commandment in the Torah which Moses, the servant of God, commanded you, to love Jehovah your God, to walk in his ways, to keep his commandments, to cleave to him, to serve him with all your heart and with all your soul. One more in Joshua. Look at Joshua 23. Joshua 23, verse 11. Take good heed, therefore, unto yourselves. I'm going to give you a little bit better translation of that in a minute. That you love Jehovah your God. Take good heed, therefore, unto yourselves. And you shall love, ma'od, very. Yeah, I mean, you shall guard very. It's like, again, you better be very careful to guard yourselves to love Jehovah your God. In Hebrew, it's sometimes translated, guard your souls very closely, because the word nephesh is used there. Soul, it basically means guard everything in your life around this love of Jehovah. So important. The precise phrase, v'nishmatim ma'od, v'nafshtekim, is used one other time. What does it mean to guard your souls very much? We only have one other time this verse is used. Look with me to Deuteronomy 4. Deuteronomy 4 and verse 15. Same phrase. Therefore, take good heed unto yourselves, for you saw no manner of form on the day that Jehovah spoke unto you in Horeb out of the midst of the fire. He goes into the idea that this careful guarding is to prevent idolatry. That's why it's so important. You have to excuse me. John, do you mind? Can you grab me a cough drop out of my office? I have some on my desk. Look at Deuteronomy 13, please. Deuteronomy 13, 1. Now, this is the case of the false prophet. If there arise in the midst of you a prophet or a dreamer of dreams, and he give thee a sign or a wonder, and the sign or the wonder come to pass whereof he spoke unto thee, saying, thank you, brother, saying, let us go after other gods which you have not known, and let us serve them. You shall not hearken unto the words of that prophet or unto that dreamer of dreams, for Jehovah your God proves you to know whether you love Jehovah your God with all your heart and soul. Sometimes there are tests presented to the believer to know whether or not you'll love God with all your heart. We're supposed to guard our souls, our very essence, our very being, our every, against idolatry in any form. And here it says that Jehovah does this to prove you, to know whether or not you really love God with all your heart. Because look, it's not enough to love Jehovah your God. You have to love Jehovah your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your every, and guard the covenant. Keep the covenant. Keep the commandments. They go together. We should love Jehovah with everything. Look with me at Psalm 31. Psalm 31 and verse 23, 24 in Hebrew. Oh, love Jehovah, all ye his saints. Jehovah preserves the faithful and plentifully rewarded him that deals proudly. Where it says, love Jehovah, all ye his saints. In Hebrew, the word saint is from the root word hesed. His holy ones, his steadfast lovers. I don't know, maybe that's a good way to... His loyal, his consistent, kind ones. They're commanded to love Jehovah. Note also the other group in this, the opposite of which are proud. He'll also give the reward to those who are proud. Remember in Micah 6, verses 6 through 8, what we learn there is what does God require of us? And it is very clearly communicated that we are to love hesed and to do justice, right? And to walk humbly, not proud. Psalm 31, 23, that's a beautiful verse because it describes this group also using the word hesed. So we are to model our way after God's ways. Now look with me to Psalm 145. Psalm 145. In verse 20. Jehovah preserves all them that love him, but all the wicked he will destroy. Shomer. Jehovah guards those. It's translated preserve in the ASV. But he preserves all those that love him. But you see the other group? The wicked, the bad, those that hate God, the group that doesn't love God and keep his commandments. It says Jehovah will destroy. The bottom line is that if we love Jehovah, we'll keep his commandments. If we don't keep his commandments, can we truly say that we love him? Love and keep. In Isaiah chapter 41, verse 8, in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, and verse 7, Abraham is referred to, the English translates the word, the friend of God. In the Hebrew, the word there is ahav. The root word is ahav. It means more than a neighbor or a friend. you have to bring the word love in there. What does it mean to say that Abraham is the friend of Jehovah? It literally means he's the beloved. Or you could say, even though it might not sound right in English, but he's the lover of Jehovah. I kind of like it. To be a lover of Jehovah requires us to follow the ways of God, not just to say it with our mouth. The love of Jehovah involves a total makeover. It's an inside job, you might say. It begins on the inside. It goes to the heart. With our every essence, we are to love Jehovah and keep his commandments. We should keep. We should guard the commandments, the statutes, the rules. We should follow the commandments. We should follow the dietary rules. We should keep the festivals. We should do the external. We should put a mezuzah up. But if you have it on your door and you don't have it in your heart, it's just a pretty decoration. If you wear tzitzit, but you don't look at them to remind you of the commandments and the statutes and the judgments, they're just kind of interesting tassels to wear on your garments. We must love Jehovah with all our heart, soul, and our every. And we indicate this through our keeping of the commandments. This is what is required. And I'll close. Go with me to Joshua 23. Joshua 23 and verse 11. Again, I read this, but I want you to think about this as I close. Take good heed, therefore, unto yourselves that you love Jehovah your God. So as a closing word, I give you that challenge to really examine, to really make sure that you guard your soul to ensure that you're loving Jehovah the way he says he wants to be loved, and that's through keeping. So love and keep. Shabbat shalom.